Welcome back into the Godly Young Men podcast. This is episode 134. We are talking to you guys today about the concept of extreme ownership. Extreme ownership. Joe, this is not a phrase or a concept that is original to me by any means. In fact, I read a book earlier this year that really put me on this idea. We talk about it a lot where I work. Chick-fil-A is kind of, it's one of our really main principles that we try to live by as leaders. But Extreme Ownership is a book that is written by Jocko Willink and Leif Babin as well. Jocko Willink is kind of well known in the manosphere, so to speak, former Navy SEAL. And just you look at the guy and he's just absolutely jacked.
Oh, yeah.
You would not want to cross ways with him.
Goggins and him are kind of the two main figures.
Exactly. Well, he wrote a book called Extreme Ownership. Him and, again, Leif Babin is the other author. It's an excellent book. I would highly recommend it. It's definitely the best book I've read this year, for sure. Not that I've read a ton this year, but I read it kind of for work, and I had wanted to read it before, and so I would highly recommend it. What we're talking about today is a lot of what they're going to what they talk about in the book. We're kind of taking what they put forth as extreme ownership and applying it to stuff that godly young men need to apply it to. We're going to talk about how to have extreme ownership with your family, with yourself, with your habits, with your faith, all these things. But just to kind of give a brief intro into the book, and then Joe, just, I know you haven't read the book, but kind of just any introductory thoughts you have on this idea of extreme ownership. They talk about in their book, once again, it's kind of an application to, more so to like business and organizational leadership. And they really make the point, the main thrust is, you as a leader, you have to control what you can control. You need to take extreme ownership, take ownership of what you're responsible for. If you're always looking over your shoulder, trying to blame somebody else, or something goes poorly and you're like, man, how can I deflect this? Who can I blame? What explanation can I give? They say, instead of doing that, take ownership of it. Take extreme ownership of what you can control as a leader. No blame, no deflecting. There's a chapter in there that's called No Bad Teams, Only Bad Leaders, where they basically make the point that no such thing as a bad team, only bad leaders. A bad team is a result of a bad leader. And so, really, the whole book is kind of a mindset shift. They get very practical, again, from a business perspective, and we're going to get really practical with this episode as well. But, Joe, it's really a mindset shift of, like, instead of going through life looking for someone to blame, or not even someone to blame, an excuse to make. Well, I had this happen, or yada, yada, yada. And it's like, no, I'm going to own this. I'm going to own the good things, and I'm going to own the bad things. I don't know. I'm really excited about to talk about it, because I think it's really – once you understand it, it really helps your perspective as a godly young man so much.
Well, I mentioned this before. My dad used to tell us growing up, everybody's just looking for a good excuse. And he'd say that over and over. Everybody's just looking for a good excuse. And there's just such truth to that of, like, everybody's looking around for who to blame and what's the excuse and why couldn't they perform and why couldn't they do that. And his whole point was, like, if you take ownership of this, if you take responsibility for it, things will go well. Even if it doesn't initially go well, it will go well in life because it's a mindset shift, right? As you're talking, like, this principle that you will be guided by that will serve you so well. I tell all my clients, like, control what you can control. Stop worrying about the next guy. Stop worrying about, you know, people at school or whatever it may be. Like, you control you. Control what you can control. Keep it very local. And that helps quite a bit, actually, with anxiety when they actually practice these things, right? When they're controlling what they can control. But there's just something about it that's like, we've talked also about authority flows to those who take responsibility. When you take ownership, there's authority that flows, but there's also this level of peace, I think, and it doesn't seem like it because maybe it just feels like you're getting your lunch handed to you when you're taking this ownership. But at the end of the day, there's something so freeing about taking ownership and just saying, this is mine, and I'm going to work with it to the best of my ability. I'm going to help in whatever way I can. I'm going to control what I can control. And instead of wondering, well, this might happen, and this person might fail me, and that person might do this, you know what? I'm in control of this, and I'm going to own this to the best of my ability. There's just something freeing about that.
And you rise to the top in whatever industry or position. Obviously, all these things we're talking about, like, there's just such a difference between the person who is, once again, something goes wrong or something just doesn't go very well, and it's like, well, it wasn't my fault because da-da-da-da. The person who takes extreme ownership, and again, whether it's good or bad, a lot of it we're talking about is going to be kind of taking extreme ownership of the negative things and improving those things. The person who takes ownership of that is going to rise to the top versus the person who's always trying to blame somebody else. But we've got five areas we want to cover when it comes to taking extreme ownership that we're going to encourage every single person listening to or watching this on YouTube, take extreme ownership in every single one of these areas. It's going to be very easy, as Joe just spoke about, kind of everybody looking for good excuses. It's going to be very easy if you are unhappy with the way things go in one of these areas. We're going to talk about yourself, your fam or your faith, your family, your habits, and your work. Odds are at some point you might be slightly unhappy with one or two or multiple of those kind of boxes, areas of your life. Don't always look to somebody else to improve that. Take the ownership that you know you can take. And so, Joe, let's start with taking extreme ownership of yourself.
Yeah.
I feel like it'd probably be irresponsible of us to move on to faith or even family or work until people take extreme ownership of themselves. You see people, and this is just kind of the perfect microcosm, people who weigh 400-plus pounds, and this is not to pick on them or anything, but you can just tell, like, they have no control over themselves. They have no control over what they eat, no control right. over the way they exercise. You see people who spend 8-10 hours a day in front of a screen playing video games, again, young people specifically. You see people that can't hold down a job because they just want to enjoy themselves all the time. And at some point, you have to take extreme ownership of yourself. How you look, nobody can fix that but yourself. Your physical strength as a godly young man. That's the nice thing. You get to control that yourself. And so, Joe, what thoughts do you have on kind of taking extreme ownership with yourself? Because once again, it's difficult to move into these other areas until you understand the way I look, the way I present myself. That's on me. That's not on anybody else.
Yeah, so much of this is self-control, right? But there's also another piece of this, like with a person that's 400 pounds. A lot of times it's because they hate themselves. They are taking it out on themselves. And even then, extreme ownership can really help of like, you know what? I am not who I want to be, but I have it within my power to become who I want to be. And yes. that is the freeing thought when you think about yourself is, can I be who I want to be? Can I become who I want to become? The people that don't are those who have lost faith in themselves. They've lost faith in their ability to improve. They've lost faith in their ability to take ownership of themselves. They're constantly looking for the bailout. And even with, and you know, we've talked about it before, and I know this isn't super popular for some people, but like you look at the shot. Moonjaro or whatever it may be, right? Like these weight loss
Ozempic,
here you go. Yeah, these weight loss shots with semaglutide and everything else, I think is the active ingredient. They are you not taking ownership of yourself. They are you trying to fast track self-control and fast track this idea of, you know, I'm going to get there and that's how I'm going to take control of myself. You can't look at yourself in the mirror and respect yourself for that because you're not taking ownership of it. You're handing ownership over to a shot that you hope will work. You're handing ownership over to something else rather than getting under the weights, you know, in the bench press or whatever it may be. That's taking ownership because you were immediately in control of it and I own the weights right there. Like I am, maybe you don't physically own it, you're at a gym, but like I'm owning this that man, my body's feeling these things rather than just passing it on to somebody else. And if somebody can do it for me, then I'll have somebody do it for me. And if somebody can style me correctly, I'll just give it to somebody else. That's not taking ownership of it. That is hoping that somebody else is going to come through for you to do something you won't do for yourself.
Yeah, you we're sports fans here. Luka Doncic got traded to the Lakers last year and kind of made the news that – and Luka, if you don't know who that is, look him up. He plays for the Lakers. Very, very good player. But kind of made the news because he was considered wide – first of all, everybody was shocked he got traded. He's one of these players that just should not ever get traded.
Generational
he's talent,
that
good. Yeah. Well, the news, you know, is kind of going around that he was overweight, he was out of shape, didn't really take care of himself, and so he got traded. How easy would it have been for Luka Doncic to decide, you know, they've just got it out for me, they don't understand me, I'm not out of shape, I'm still an amazing player, and just not really done anything about it. This summer, Luka has come out, and apparently the gym that he usually works out in over in Europe before this year didn't have weights. Like all he did was like play basketball and just kind of, well, he's lifting weights now and he has slimmed up, he has trimmed up, he's toned up. In fact, he was on the cover of Men's Health. Might be a strange example. He could have very easily brushed all that criticism aside and said, you know, that's just what they think and, you know, who are they to say? No, he took ownership and was like, maybe I am a little out of shape. Maybe I do need to lift some weights. And sure enough, he did. But even away from the physical appearance, getting good grades, your academics.
Yep.
How easy is it to say the teacher's got it out for me? Or I just, man, the teacher's not teaching me very well. I don't understand this. Or
kids in class are distracting me.
Like just to blame somebody else instead of, you know what, I'm capable of getting good grades and I just haven't been putting the work in. At the end of the day, with yourself, and we've got some other areas we're going to get into as far as habits go, but like your appearance, your diet, your schoolwork, whatever it is, like you've just got to quit making excuses and just go do it. Go study to get the good. If you have to study a little bit harder than the average person, then study a little bit harder than the average person. If you've got to cut out eating a certain thing that's your favorite thing in the world, cut it out. If you've got to decide, I'm going to have to exercise or work out for an hour a day, do it. Like, the theme for this episode is what's really cool about all this is you get to basically control how you look, yourself, your faith, all these things. You get control over that. Yep. But you only get control when you take control. And that's really what we're getting at here with this self one.
Yeah, and I just before we move on, because I think that's a great wrap to that one point. But, you know, I think back to Doncic, like, part of taking ownership for yourself is the ability to hear criticism, to hear critiques, to hear, even if it's not constructive criticism and it's just straight criticism and it hurts. Yeah. Ownership is going, you got a point.
They're right about that.
You got a point. I don't like it. I think you could have said it in a, you know, much different way, in a much better way, but I'm going to own that you are right in this, and I do need to change, and I need to work on it. That's taking ownership of it, so you're not even using the excuse of, well, they're mean to me. There is no excuse in the real world. In when you step out into that, you know, and it's a dog-eat-dog world, as they say, like, there's truth to that. It is difficult, and everybody is looking. There's a lot of wolves out there, and they're looking for the weak link who is going to just make excuses to everything that happens, and so take ownership of yourself. Second is take ownership of your faith. You see this a lot with, and I'm sorry to pick on the South, but you see this a lot with people down here where it's like they go to church because their great-great-grandfather started the church, and if they didn't, then their grandmother would disown them out of the will type of thing. Like, it's just they don't really have their own faith. They have the faith of their parents, the faith of their grandparents, great-grandparents, whatever it may be, and that's not ownership. You're not owning your own faith. You're just, once again, giving it to somebody else. You're giving them the keys to the Ferrari and being like, hey, you know, you get to determine my spirituality. You get to determine my walk with God. You get to determine my value in the eyes of God. Because I don't really have that relationship myself. I'm just going to let you determine that. That's a really scary place to be.
I think about Timothy in the New Testament, where Paul was writing to Timothy, who was apparently a pretty young guy. We don't know exactly how young, but Paul tells him, let no one look down on you because of how young you are. So fairly young, younger than average.
Young enough, yeah.
And the things that Paul is asking of him are pretty intense. Appoint elders, flee youthful lusts, behave in this way, hold members accountable, to command the rich to do
these
things.
Stand up to false teaching, yeah.
Pretty high-minded things. And we've got young men who, once again, as Joe spoke to, they don't really know. If you were to ask them, why do you go to church? Because the Bible says to. Okay, well, why does the Bible say to? I don't know. Why are you a Christian? They have no answer to it. And so, again, as Joe said, that's not true ownership, taking extreme ownership of your faith. It can't be about your parents. You can't rely on other people's Bible knowledge, your preacher, your parents, or whoever it is. Like, study for yourself. Strive to grow. Strive to have the biblical knowledge growth that you want to, that, again, that your preacher, whoever has been kind of instilling in you, man, grow yourself. Study yourself. I see so many young people, and I think this is why so many of them leave the faith. They don't have any ownership of their faith. They go because their parents take them. They go because it's like, well, it's probably the right thing to do. But deep down, they don't know why. And until you know why, you can't really take ownership of anything, in my opinion. Joe's really big about, you know, understanding the why. And so, yeah, with your faith, this one is really important. You've got to know why you're going to church. You got to know why you're a Christian. You got to know why you believe in God. You got to know why you believe the Bible. And you got to know why you study the Bible. And so many young people, it's kind of like punching a clock. It's just another thing in their life. Sure, it's what I'm supposed to do, so I'll just do it. That's not at all extreme ownership. And so I've got on here – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. I was just going to say – and I want to give a quick shout-out to the guys on our Discord. We got a lot of good young men who
absolutely
are very much owning this. You know, they're stepping up in their church. They're helping in worship. They're helping with the Devos on Wednesday night. Like, they're really seeing this. And so I want to give a shout-out to everybody on the Discord. And if you're not on the Discord, make sure to join us there. Because we're just seeing these things take place every day. They're challenging one another and questioning things and you know – helping one another. There's been some conflict on the Discord. I love it. I think there's a desire truly to own the faith amongst our, you know, our watchers and things like that. So I want to give a shout out to you guys. But this is one that, and I love how you say it at the end, maybe this is what you're about to get to, but quit being a consumer and start being a disciple. We want to be the type of people that are consistently looking to be discipled by others and also looking to eventually grow into our own disciple and where we can disciple others and pass down that faith. You cannot pass down a faith that you don't have. You can't give what you don't have. If you don't have your own faith, there's no way you're going to give it to your wife, to your kids, to anybody else, to your friends. You have to own this and let this be your own personal walk with Christ, because that's what we'll preach. That's what we'll evangelize. If you go out to evangelize your parents' faith, people are going to you're going to find out real fast. People are going to find out real fast.
It's not genuine.
It's not genuine. You don't have that within yourself. You were just parroting something. This is why so many guys go straight at colleges. They're parroting until a college professor comes in, pokes holes in it. What about this? What about that? I haven't considered that. Consider those things. Do your own research, as you said. Do your own study. Own your own relationship with Christ, because once again, there's freedom in that. It's an amazing thing when you genuinely feel loved by Christ, not just because your parents told you that, but because you feel it. There's ownership in that.
Last thing I'll say is, if if somebody asks you a biblical question, not like a trivia question, but like, hey, what are your thoughts on Calvinism? What are your thoughts on, you know, just salvation? Like, why, how somebody gets saved? And you don't know, and you're like, well, what does my preacher think? That might be an indicator that you need to brush up yourself. And no, and I'm not, we're not saying you've got to be a theological expert. All we're saying is you need to know why you believe what you believe. And if you don't know, look to grow. That's really, really important. Yeah. Third area, your family. Taking extreme ownership with your family. There's kind of two ways I want to go with this, Joe, because I know a lot of people are that watch this and listen to this maybe don't have their own family yet.
Sure.
So let's start with those people. The gift of family is one of the biggest blessings that you can ever have. Whether, again, let's say you've got siblings and you still live at home, you got your parents. It is very in vogue now to not get along with your siblings, to kind of dislike your parents if you're a teenager. And so because of that, I think a lot of families don't really have good relationships with each other. They don't talk to each other about deep things. Their conversations are very shallow. And so you know, kids grow up and leave the house, and then there's just not a strong relationship there. If you're listening to this and you're one of those people that realizes, I want to have a better relationship with my siblings, I want to have a better relationship with my mom, with my dad, don't spend all your time saying, well, I just wish that they would come to me about that. I wish my parents would have invested in me. I wish my siblings would be nicer to me. Get that out of your head. Again, it's a mental paradigm shift. Take ownership of your relationship with your family. Again, if you're 18, 19 years old, maybe you're at college and you're just not close with your siblings. I think we had an episode on this several weeks ago, but not close with your parents, and you're like, man, I wish I had that. Man, if only they would call me up. If only they would ask how I'm doing. If only this, that, and the other thing. You take ownership. You control what you can control. You can check in on your siblings. You can try to have a good relationship. You can really try to invest in the relationship with your parents if they never did with you. And does it always pay off? It doesn't. I wish I could tell you that it did, but this is what Joe talks about being freeing. You can feel free in the fact that you've done everything that you can to have a great relationship with your family. But there's obviously a second side of this I'll let you get to when it comes to those who do have families and taking extreme ownership.
Absolutely. This is where you're going to find a lot of, like, the other podcast we do, Think Deeper. This is going to fit more in line with that, because you do have, we just recorded a podcast recently on kids that go astray. When your kids don't obey, own that. That's going to be on you. Well, you know, boy, my five-year-old just won't listen. Like, yeah, I'm sure your five-year-old has a ton of free will to himself. Like, own that.
If your five-year-old doesn't obey, it's because of you. Correct. It's not because of him.
Correct. Yeah. And newsflash, if your 13-year-old doesn't obey, it's probably because of you too.
Yeah.
You know, you. Yes, he has his own ability, and I'm not saying that you can make your kid perfect. My point is, shape their will. Help them to make the right decisions. If you have one going off the deep end, rarely do I ever get a kid in my therapy practice where I look at it and go, boy, you got there yourself. Like, much less an adult. Yeah. I look at all those. You didn't get there yourself. These things took place. Own that. You know, you have a wife that won't submit. Own that. That is, you are a big part of the problem that she has not submitted. You've created the atmosphere for her to not submit. And yes, she's going to have to answer to God for that as well. She's got her own life. She's got her own decisions to make. But are you going to own that and own this as something, or are you going to go, she's got to fix herself, you know?
Well, until she does that, I'm not going
to. Adam did that in the garden. It didn't work out super well for him. It's like, hey, that's the wife I gave you, Adam, to nourish lead. And to lead and to, you know, to take ownership of in this way. That yes, the spiritual authority in the home is going to be you, and the spiritual direction of the home is going to be set by you, and the spiritual culture in the home is going to be set by you. Take ownership of that.
Use the word culture. We've talked about it. Husbands and fathers are the culture setters in their home. And if your culture is in complete and utter chaos and destruction and disarray, it's not your wife's fault. It's not your kid's fault. It's your fault.
Right.
And you need to take ownership of that. I'm not trying to preach at you, but I would be preaching to myself if that was the case. Anytime you see a home that is in disarray, anytime you see, to reference our other podcast episode again, kids that go astray, kids that kind of go off the deep end, that whether we like it or not is a reflection of the leadership within the home, which falls to husbands and fathers. And so wife, kids, even something maybe a little bit more trivial like finances. If your finances are in disarray, you're in a ton of debt or can't make the mortgage payment or whatever it is, you got to take ownership of that. You can't, oh, man, Trump in this economy or Biden in this economy or, man, I just wish housing rates would go down or whatever it is. Like, take ownership. You got to take ownership. Control what you can control. And ultimately what we have on here is, quit deflecting and blaming others and just go lead your family. I wish that we could, that every man in the church would just listen to that. Don't blame others. Don't deflect. Just go lead your family. That ultimately is going to be how you take extreme ownership with your family. Any other thoughts on that?
Yeah, because just even if you do, well, it's their fault. It's their problem. And why would, you know, if they just do this and it's my wife's fault.
If they would listen to me.
Yeah. If they just listen to me. first off, you will answer to God one way or the other as a father. But second off, we talk about the freedom. There's no freedom in that. You're just waiting for the next person. It's the keys to the Ferrari. You've handed them the keys to everything, and it's like, if they will do this, then I'll be happy. If they'll do this, then I'll look like a good leader. Like, no leader thinks that way. No leader gets into combat like, I need you guys to really make me look good. It's like, that's not the way that it goes.
Yeah.
It is, you lead by example. You lead by you know, the things that you put in place, the structure that you give to the home. That's where freedom is found, and that's where glory is also found on the behalf of a man, is if they're the ones doing all the work and you didn't do anything, you kind of sat back. Why should you get glory? They're the ones doing it all on their own. You take ownership, and when you take ownership, it creates the terrarium for your family to thrive. It creates the terrarium for your wife to go out and to make decisions, and it's under your headship and you're helping. And it's just a beautiful thing. But the more that you, it's honestly, it sounds mean. There's a lot of whiners. There's a lot of people that... A lot of complainers that don't want to take control of their home. They don't want to take ownership of it. They want to blame their wife. They want to blame their kids. They want to blame their in-laws. They want to blame everybody else rather than just saying, this is my family and I'm going to do the, I'm going to own everything I can within the home to make it the best it can be. Number four, ownership with your work. Ownership with your work. We've talked a lot about the idea of showing up on time. Don't be late. Don't be the guy who's... getting out of bed right before you got to get there, and you're peeling out and, you know, out of your driveway to get there on time. Like, take ownership of that. Own your you know, sleeping patterns and such, as we talked about the day and the night. Like, own those things that you can wake up on time and you can make sure you're actually showing up on time to work.
Well, the things that the reason I put that on there might seem kind of silly is because, like, you can't always control what position you are in work. You can't always control what salary you make. You can't always control how nice your boss is to you or your coworker. You know what you can control? Are you there on time? Are you dependable? Do you call out? Are you reliable? Can the boss depend on you in a tight spot, in a pinch, they need somebody to come in? Are you that person? Do you go the extra mile? Do you maybe stay a little bit later or come in a little bit earlier because they need help? Again, there's a billion different lines of work out there that this might, you know, different things apply to different things. But, like, the idea I'm getting at is control what you can control about your work. You can't always control your salary. You cannot always control maybe some of the bigger things. Control what you can control, doing your job to the best of your ability, working really hard. Once again, maybe showing up a little bit early, maybe staying a little bit late, whatever is asked of you, maybe going beyond what is asked of you. Those are the things that you can control, and that's how you take extreme ownership. We've got a society full of people who, first of all, just want to do the bare minimum, just whatever I got to do to clock out and go home and enjoy myself, but also a lot of people who just look to blame their bosses, look to blame their coworkers, look to blame the system, the 1%, as Joe's talked about, capitalism, all the system, the economy, whatever it is. Take extreme ownership of your work, of the things that you, whether you're an employee working for somebody else or whether you're a business owner and you kind of work for yourself and you get to really make your own schedule. There are, again, various ways that you can deflect and blame. Look for ways to take extreme ownership.
I sometimes have people make a list of all the things they can control. If you're struggling in work, make a list of all the things you can control. I can't control anything. My boss is doing this. My coworkers are doing that. Whatever it is, make a list. Can you control your attitude?
Yeah,
you can. Can you own and control the things that that you learn? Learning new things, working on learning new things, looking to learn how to do something better. Yeah, you can control that. Can you try hard things? Can you try to do something different or go into your work and think about, what if I did just a little bit more? You know, my father-in-law is, he's an engineer of sorts, and what he does is basically he worked at Genie, and now he works at a place in Colorado, a very big multi-million dollar company in Colorado, and he's lean management is what it's called. And he goes in, and it's little improvements here or there, and we're talking like he shaves a second or two off of this entire assembly line approach. Shaving 2-3 seconds off is a big deal because you multiply that over the course of a year, you know, for every little thing that they're doing. He's saving the company tens of thousands, sometimes hundreds of thousands of dollars just by little things, and he dials it in, and it's like, instead of having to reach across, they will build a brand new cabinet right here so you can go boop and just grab the little tool that you're working on, because this takes longer than this. I mean, it's those type of things. It's that dialed in. Yeah, you can work on lean management in your own space of work of like, I'm going to work on honing this in to be the best I can be at the craft that I am doing, whether that's flipping burgers or that is being an apprentice as a plumber or whatever it may be. What can you do to be the best you can be? All of that is within your control, and you may hate the people that you work with. Take ownership of the fact that you chose this job. This is a job you want to be in, otherwise you wouldn't be here. You want to be in, it's a job that does pay you, and I'm going to own the attitude that I show up with. So there's a lot more ownership in work than we think there is.
Yeah, that's really well said. Last area, and we'll try to get through this one quickly because we talked about it before, but take ownership with your habits. Take extreme ownership with your habits. We've got all the basic ones on here. I'll go through quickly. Bible study, prayer, working out and exercise, getting a healthy amount of sleep, waking up early, conquering your mornings, as we've discussed. How much screen time do you ingest? How much social media time? Are you reading? Are you taking time to learn or learn something new, to practice? Are you trying to learn an instrument? Are you trying to learn another sport, foreign language, whatever it is? These are habits that, once again, to beat the dead horse, you get to control every single one of these things. I know a lot of guys who, man, I just wish my mornings went better. I wish I was more productive. I wish I didn't sleep as late. Oh, would you, you know, what, you know, the amount of people, young people that, oh, how's it going? Oh, I'm tired. Oh, really? What'd you do last night? Well, I went to bed at 3 a.m. I wonder why you're tired. Right. Like, I shocker right. there that you're tired. Like, these are things that you can take ownership of, and we're not trying to be fuddy-duddies here, say you can't ever stay up late, but point is, you want to get a healthy amount of sleep? You get to control what time you go to bed. You want to make sure that you don't spend too much time on social media? You get to control that. You want to make sure that you are exercising, working out? You get to control that. There's so many different habits. We talked about rhythms a bit last episode. So many different habits that maybe you want to start, or maybe you have started and you wish you were better at. Really, what, once again, the mindset shift is about just not looking for somewhere to blame, not looking to deflect. It's all about, I'm going to own what I can own. And for all of these things, how much you study, do you spend time in prayer? The really important things, obviously. But again, even if you want to learn how to play the guitar, if you want to improve your golf swing, as I certainly do, like, are you going to put in the time to do that, or are you not? That's really what it comes down to. And so, yeah, extreme ownership with your habits. What would you have to add?
Yeah, you know, I was thinking as you were talking about with the 3 a.m. thing, don't complain about things that you have ownership of.
Yeah.
You walk in, oh, I'm so tired. Man, this is just taking a really long time. Like, okay, it's something you signed up for. You took ownership of that, right?
Yeah.
Own that. Man, I'm so tired. It's just, well, I went to bed at 3. Like, own that. Don't be complaining about being tired when you went to bed at 3. That's a decision you made. Don't complain about it if you have ownership over it. And the reality is you have ownership over a lot of different stuff. That's why we shouldn't be grumbling and complaining, is own it. And just go, you know what? I did stay up late. That was a decision I made. I'll make a different decision tomorrow.
Got to live with it.
I got to live with it. I'm just going to own that I made that decision, good, bad, or otherwise. Even when we make mistakes, own it and move on. Rather than, man, I got to beat myself up in the pound of flesh approach and I can't give myself any grace, own it. I made a mistake. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to move on. I don't need to beat myself up for the next 3 weeks trying to remind myself that I made a mistake. It's like I owned it. I took ownership of the fact that I made a mistake and I'm moving on. And with so many of these habits, we want to get in the habit of owning things. Like, what do I have ownership of? And there's something that is scary about it because, again, there's not a whole lot of place to hide when you realize it's on me. You know, I have to take ownership of this. On the other hand, that's where the freedom is I don't have to hide behind, well, so-and-so's fault, and if they had done this, and if they had done that. Like, you will forever spend your life looking for the excuse and looking for somebody to blame if you're not very careful. So own it. Even if somebody else is to blame, you own it and you go, you know what? If things had gone a little bit different, you see this in sports. We're talking about this off-air thing. Like, you see this in sports of people that, you know, the good leaders are those that go, you know, my team didn't show up, but I'm still going to own this, basically.
I've told this story before. I'll never forget watching the Chiefs and the Eagles play. This wasn't Super Bowl. This was the middle of the season, 2023 season, I think. Chiefs are trailing. Eagles are winning. Patrick Mahomes throws a perfect ball to Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Hits him right in the breadbasket. Would have been a walk-in touchdown with like 40 seconds left. Drops it. Just completely drops it. It was a perfect throw. Press conference, they ask him about it, and Mahomes says, I threw it a little long. It could have been a little bit shorter. I could have taken a little bit off of that. I remember watching that going, what? Like, that was a perfect. Like, if that was me and this is where I need to get better, I'd have been like, I probably wouldn't have said it, but in my mind, I'd have been like, if my receiver would have caught the ball that I threw, it's not what he did. He
said, yeah. You're going to pay millions of dollars to catch a ball.
Right, exactly. And so, again, just kind of but the sports example, yeah, you'll see guys that will say stuff like that, like take the leadership approach, and those are the guys that are really successful.
Yeah,
typically.
Exactly. Or, you know, the other one you see is like, we shouldn't have been in a position that would have mattered, that would have swayed the game. You know, I've seen that one before as well, where guys own, like, yeah, we should have been in a better position.
Hockey players are really good about that as well.
Hockey players are great at owning it. Own these things. It's a beautiful thing to be able to take ownership because authority flows to those who take responsibility. When you are responsible for these things, when you own these things, there's just a beauty in life that, yes, it's a little scarier. Yes, it's a little bumpier, a little rockier along the way because there's no place to hide. You can't hide behind so-and-so being the problem. It's like, I'll be the problem. that's okay, because that's where leaders are made. That's where great men are born, is the ability to go, even if it is somebody else's fault, I'm going to own it, and we're going to do better next time. We're going to show up and be in a better spot. And there's just a beauty to that. And every guy that you respect, I guarantee you, every man you respect in life is really good at this one thing. They take ownership of the things in their life. We want to be like that.
Yeah. As you think about all these areas, once again, your family, your faith, your work, your habits, even just yourself, your life will be better if you can understand this principle. If you adopt this paradigm shift, if you adopt this mental perspective, your life will be better. You won't be looking for somebody to blame. You will look to yourself, and then because of that, you will improve. Like, you just naturally will, because you're going to work harder. You're going to decide, I don't want to be in this position again. And so you're going to look for ways to get out of this position, to stay out of the position moving forward. And so, yeah, this has been hopefully a motivating episode. We kind of, a bit of a pep talk type episode. I'd encourage you to go read that book if you haven't. Again, Extreme Ownership is really good, especially if you're in any kind of management, organizational leadership, leading people in any way. All godly young men who get married and have a family are going to be leading people at some point, even if it's not for a business. And so I'd recommend it. Again, a bit of a different episode, maybe a little bit more on the motivational side. But this is, once again, just a perspective that I would encourage every single one of our watchers and listeners to adopt, because your life will be better for it.
Yeah, that's a great wrap. This has been episode 134 of the Godly Young Men podcast. Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next week.